again bid everyone welcome, express my appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but again, we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. Appreciate everyone's desire not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship with one another, but to involve ourselves in as a congregation in giving our worship to God. There's an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. The title of the lesson is simply Resources for Faithfulness, or Yes, There Is Help to Keep Faithful. We need to know, I think all of us need to know, it's possible to be a faithful Christian. I want to emphasize that, and one reason why we assemble together, not only to give our worship to God, but to encourage each other in that faith. But sometimes people ask, Brian, is there anything that can be done to strengthen that possibility of successful Christian living? Of course, the answer is yes, and that's what this lesson is about this morning. I'm going to give you at least four resources to maintain faith in Christian living. I hope these will be valuable to you. I know there's more than four, but at least it'll get you thinking in this direction. Number one, let God say something to you every day. Let God say something to you every day. Someone said, well, Brian, my faith is a little weak. Well, number one, let God say something to you every day. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the Word of God. You want your faith strengthened? Spend more time listening to what God has to say. Amen. It's faith strengthening. Study of God's Word is a means by which we can remain faithful. It has the capacity, the ability to strengthen faith. In Colossians 1, beginning of verse 9, Paul said, this I pray. All right, Paul, what do you have in mind? What do you want to ask God on behalf of the brethren? He said, this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge, in spiritual understanding or judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, and unto the glory and praise of God. Paul prays, I want you to increase in knowledge. Study God's Word as faith strengthening. In Psalm 119, and other verses than the ones that Brother Leroy read to us this morning, Psalm 119 kind of extols the virtues of God's Word. And here's a sampling. I'm just going to read some verses from Psalm 119. Look at the emphasis on God's Word. Verse 9. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 19. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Verse 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Verse 44. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. My statutes. Verse 97, for the text that was read to us. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet a light unto my path. Verses 127 through 129. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. Verse 175. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. You want help in Christian living? Next to the last verse of this psalm, let thy judgments help me. It's interesting, I don't know if you kind of caught this, but there were seven different words used in describing God's word in this text. In verse 9, thy word. In verse 19, thy commandments. In verse 28, thy precepts. In verse 36, thy testimonies. In verse 44, thy law. In verse 54, thy statutes. In verse 175, thy judgments. Gives us some insight into the ability and the power of God's word. It was in this treasure house of Scripture that Jesus met every temptation. He confronted the devil with every temptation by saying, it's written. It's written. If you want help in Christian living, like Jesus, like the encouragement in the psalm, like the words from the Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God and the salvation. Let God, through His word, say something to you every day. James 4, verse 7. I just put that one in your notes. James 4, verse 7 says, just resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And one resistance for us is our knowledge and use of God's word to keep us faithful. I know we say, I'm too busy. And I am too. But yet we let so much of the world speak to us. Through radio, television, newspaper, magazines. We also find time to do those things that are most precious to us. Therefore, we need to begin to see the Word of God as so precious that we make time for it. Just as we make time for the other things in life. In Luke 11, verse 28, there's a blessing for those who hear the Word of God and keep it. In Revelation 1, verse 3, Jesus gives this blessing or beatitude. Blessed is he that reads. That reads. Let God's Word say something to you every day. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein. So let God say something to you every day. That's number one, that will strengthen your faith. Keep you and me on the right track. Number two, just as we want God to say something to us, let's say something to God every day. Number two, that means pray. Pray. Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus doesn't give us a time to pray or the number of times to pray per day. He just assumes that we're going to pray. He says that you ought always to pray and not faint. And it means pray. Don't faint with that charge or that obligation. Don't be remiss. In other words, don't faint. Don't be remiss in your duty. Don't be slothful in prayer. Don't grow weary of praying or talking to God. Don't lose heart in prayer. And you and I can do that. And it doesn't mean we always have to stop what we're doing and assume a certain posture of folded hands or bowed hair admonishes us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And then He gives us the ability or the way to be strong in the Lord. And He mentions putting on the whole armor of God. And after He lifts that armor from head to toe, His final words are in verses 17 and 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. And praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying always. Put in your notes this example of Jesus. In Luke 3, verse 21, He prayed at His baptism. In Luke 11, verse 1, He was praying, and when he ceased to pray, that's when His disciples came to Him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." In Mark 6, verse 41, He prayed before He handed out the loaves and the fishes to the 5,000. In Luke 6, verse 12, He spends all night in prayer before He calls the 12 apostles. In Luke 9, verse 28, it says He went up to a mountain to pray. And that's where the transfiguration took place. In John 17, in the whole chapter, is a very lengthy prayer of Jesus for His disciples. He lifts up His eyes unto heaven and begins His prayer, "Father." John chapter 17, about approximately 26 verses, you have a recorded prayer of Jesus. You have the Lord's Prayer. In Luke 22, verse 19, He offers thanks before the bread and the cup at the Last Supper. In Mark 14, verse 26, He's in Gethsemane. And He asks His disciples to sit here while I pray. So prayer is a very powerful resource in keeping ourselves steadfast and faithful. So number one, let God say something to you every day. Then number two, you say something to God every day. Number three, say something for God every day. I put in your notes, you can do that two ways. First way you can do it is by the way that you live. Paul gives an illustration of this, or a visual, if you will, an example. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. Paul writing to the brethren there, he says, you brethren, the Christians that are in Corinth, you are our epistle or our letter of commendation, written in our hearts, and you are known and read of all men. You and I are known and read by others. People look at us and they see what we hear, what we say, and they see what we do. And they make an evaluation of our faith. So Paul has this illustration in mind when he exhorted the brethren of Philippi in Philippians 1, verse 27. Let your conduct be as it becomes the gospel. Live your life in such a way that you teach by your manner of life. You're saying something for God every day. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're a visual billboard of Christianity. People make their evaluation of Christianity sometimes based upon the way that we live. So it's up to us to walk our talk. To practice what we preach. I heard someone say, don't amen this, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. Usually if I use that phrase, somebody says, yeah, I'd rather see one, Brian, than hear one. The way that we live and the places that we go are telling others on whose side we belong and on whose side we stand, the way that we live. So I want you to say something for God every day, first of all, by the way that you live. Second, by the thing that you say, just your speech. In Acts 4, verse 29, concerning Peter, Peter and John did concerning the others. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Ah. Others were watching. Peter and John said, Lord, help us to go ahead and teach, not only by the way that we live, but by the things that we say. You say, oh, Brian, I'm not a preacher. I can't stand up in front of others and even teach a Bible class. But you don't have to be a preacher. I put in your notes, typically, every Monday morning when you get to work, school or your recreation, wherever it is, someone's going to ask you, what did you do over the weekend? Why do you leave out your attendance on Lord's Day morning at a worship assembly? Why did you tell them everything else you did except that? So I'm encouraging you to include that in your list of things that you give when people ask you, what'd you do over the weekend? Oh, Friday night we went out to eat. Saturday we had Little League, or we went to a movie. Lord's Day morning we went to a worship assembly with the family. And then you keep going on. Because, wait, we did what Sunday morning? You just slipped it in there, that's right. Very casually. Oh, yes, you can say something for God every day in the most casual way. And let others know to whom you belong and on whose side you stand. Strengthen your faith. Last one, number four. Do something for God every day. James 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. As much of a blessing we receive many times from hearing God's word read and taught or preached, there's certainly a blessing in that. There's a strengthening in that, that's for sure. But number four, the Bible admonition is, be ye doers of the word and not just hearers, deluding your own selves. In Hebrews 6, verse 9, we get an idea of what this work or this doing may look like. Hebrews writer says, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. Then he lists them. Interesting list. And a phrase. He said, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Ah, what accompanies salvation? For God is not unrighteous. Forget your work and labor of love, which you showed toward his name. In that, you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance unto the end. Yeah. That's what we want to do. Whatever our hand finds to do, we certainly want to do it with all of our might. And we want to do it to the end. Galatians 6, verse 10. Be not weary in well-doing. In due season, we'll faint. I mean, we'll reap if we faint not. As we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. I'm going to close with this story. Familiar story. You've heard it for decades. But here's how it was first written. Now, don't ever underestimate the difference your deeds can make to individuals in this world. Early one morning, an elderly man walking with a cane went down to the beach. Another gentleman on the beach watched as the elderly man seemed to be surveying the part of the beach left exposed by the receding tide. Every now and then, the elderly man would bend down, pick up something, and toss it into the ocean. The other gentleman finally realized that the man was looking for starfish. Every time he saw one lying helpless in the sand, unable to get back to the ocean on his own, he would lovingly pick it up and toss it gently back into the sea. The younger man approached him. And as he arrived, the elderly man explained, the starfish are left behind after the tide goes out. If they don't get back into the ocean, they'll dry up and die beneath the hot summer sun. And the younger man replied, There are endless miles of beach. There must be millions of starfish. Surely you don't think you can save them all. What difference can your efforts possibly make? Slowly, the old man bent over, picked up another starfish. He tossed it into the ocean, and looked at the young man and said, "It makes a difference to that one." That's right. You may think, I can't help everybody, but you can help one. You can help one. Do something for God every day. Make a difference to one. To one. So that's the lesson this morning. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing what we term a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. Maybe one here this morning not a member of the New Testament church, and you need to know before you leave what God requires of you to become a Christian that provides for you the hope of eternal salvation. First thing that you need to know is you need to hear the Word of God. That gospel message. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible, Paul says that when Jesus comes again with his angels in flaming fire, he'll wreak vengeance on them that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the presence of God and from the glory of his might. So you need to hear the gospel message that Jesus loves you, died for you, was buried, and rose again, ascended to the Father's right hand, and left a message for us that we need to hear and obey. Number two, you need to believe that message. Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. You need to hear, get that good news, and believe it. Number three, you'll need to repent of your sins. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. Turn your life around, turning it toward God. Number four, you'll want to confess your faith, your belief that Jesus is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus. He said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he confessed his faith that Jesus Christ was God's Son. Philip stopped the chariot. And then that's the fifth requirement in this process, this recipe, this plan or formula. Then you need to be baptized, just as Philip did with the Ethiopians. They both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. Because he knew what just happened. He has now become a Christian. He's on God's side and has the hope of eternal salvation. That's the invitation we always extend to those who are gathered together. There may be one here that's not simply wants to have brethren for strength or encouragement while we're gathered here. We can accomplish that. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dan has selected for us.